podcast. I have with me John Canelli, who is the instructor for the VSCDA Driving School. I have Taryn. How do you say your last name, Taryn?
It's Quaker.
And I have, of course, Alex Rourke, president of VSCDA. And today we're going to talk about the driving school and what goes into making it excellent from VSCDA's end and whether it was any good from Taryn's end. She's smiling, though, so I think we... Spoiler alert, I think she enjoyed it. Welcome. Let's start with you, Alex. How are you doing? What's up?
I'm doing fine and all excited about, first of all, talking about our driver school. Also, as always, I do really want to thank you in particular and Victory Lane for all that you do to support our sport and for talking to our folks and helping us to all share vintage spirit. So thank you for doing that for us.
You're more than welcome. It's my pleasure to spend the afternoon here chatting with you. John, tell us a little bit about the backside, the effort that makes this happen.
Sure. I mean, you know, we started planning this, you know, months ahead, you know, with the driver school, getting together and just talking about the, how we're going to run the school, you know, some of the things we were going to do different from the previous years. You know, 2020 was a complete washout with COVID. We canceled the school. You know, I had been writing notes for, you know, a good 6-8 months before that. And, you know, there's just a ton of stuff that goes into the school that most people don't realize.
I would imagine so. Most of us just want to show up and go fast, right? That's
what
we depend on you for. So as an instructor, I understand from Alex that you were primarily responsible for the new fleet of open wheel guys. Give us a little bit on what goes into getting somebody who's never, I mean, most of us have never driven an open wheel vehicle unless it's a motorcycle. How do we make that transition? How do we become confident? And what goes into getting enough race craft to safely get around the track?
Sure. You know, and at this last school, we had such a big, you know, there was people that had never been on a racetrack in an open wheel car, up to people that had done Bondurant school, you know, recently, to guys that have raced SCCA for years. So we need to get those open wheel people, you know, the real raw rookies up to speed. And, you know, since we can't sit right seat with them, you know, we just have to give them the best information possible, get their confidence level up, you know, and just teach them the fundamentals, the basics in the school, you know, flags and, you know, the whole procedure, and let them gain experience on their own. And it's tough. It's very tough with open wheel because, you know, I can't be there holding a hand in the car, you know, for their first couple sessions.
Now, I know that a lot of the big commercial schools, at least at one point, used open wheel cars as school cars. Do you think it's a good place to start?
I do think it's a good place to start. You know, our first couple sessions are, you know, 50, 60% race pace. So, you know, they're going slow. They see the corners. We do a lead follow. So they get to see the track. They, you know, they get those first initial laps in at a very safe pace. And, you know, if we just let them go out on track without a lead follow, it's, you know, of course I would end in disaster most likely, but, you know, I think this gives, you know, the students a chance to, get up the pace and get comfortable.
So you have obviously a very wide group of people with years of experience in SCCA and people, it's their first time on track. What's the secret to mixing that into a working mixture?
We really, you know, this is a tough question because, you know, we had such a wide mix of cars. We had, you know, four Formula Vs all the way up to Formula Bs. So we had, you know, this wide range of experience in cars. You know, up on grid, I would, you know, try to grid them accordingly to, you know, speed and experience. But then other times I mixed them up. You know, when we did a practice race, or practice starts, I put, you know, the fast cars in the back and the slow cars up front. I put the Formula Ford, Formula Vs up front. And, you know, I made them, you know, the faster cars work up through traffic. You have to read the group to really have the best result.
Taryn, this is your first driving school, right?
Yes, it was.
And I'm not going to ask you your age. You never ask a lady your age, but I will tell the people that are listening here that Taryn is not advanced in age. I'm assuming you haven't been driving real long.
Only 17. So
there we go. Okay. So what car did you start in?
I used my grandpa's Formula V car.
Okay.
It was a Lynx Formula V. Yeah. And it was kind of crazy because I growing up around him, I would go into his shop and quote unquote, help him with his cars. And it kind of interests me at a young age. And then he built me actually a homemade go-kart one time and I loved that. So this past winter, we were talking about racing and he was like, oh, I would let you race my car. And then he was telling me about the school and I was really interested in it and I'm very glad I did it.
So you had the exact 180 of John's experience. You lived through this. What's it like being out there?
A weekend or two before we went to the track, it was a nice day and we actually got to drive it on the road I live on. So it was kind of nice having that little practice before because that was my first time in the car. But obviously it wasn't full speed yet. So first time getting on the track, I was a little nervous, but I knew that these people they were taught to expect the unexpected in the track. So that made me feel safer. And everybody there was just great and really supportive and it made me less nervous. So
that's good.
Yeah.
Here's a question. In your age group, I have a daughter who's 17, okay? And just got her driving license. And so nobody knows how to drive a manual transmission. So before you drove this car, did you have experience with a clutch? And
my grandpa has an old Porsche. And so I learned it on that first. And he taught me through that. And then that really helped me get the clutch and everything in the formula, and it was really helpful. So I don't know if I'm pro at manual yet, but I'm getting there.
Well, I don't think anybody's pro at manual without, you know, that's one of those 10,000 hour things. But if you're good enough to drive on track, you're good enough, right? So
I guess so.
Yeah, there you go.
It's not bad to get introduced to driving a stick in a Porsche.
Yeah.
No, yeah. That's a nice learner car, right?
She was being teed up for something. It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Well, it sounds like your grandpa's been a big influence.
Oh, for sure. He's been very helpful. He was so helpful to me during the school and stuff. I had a really good time.
Does he race with VSCDA?
Yes, he does. He also races the formulas, but he's been racing for a while. And when I was maybe 6, we would go to Grattan and watch him race and have a cookout. And I've always been around it.
Nice.
Yeah.
So Alex, this is bringing the young people aboard. Isn't that the key thing to keeping VSCDA alive? That's
all of vintage racing. To bring more people in is important, and to have a youth movement. And Taryn absolutely epitomizes that. But also with John being one of the lead instructors, I think we did pretty well on having a broad base of demographic and of experience but we had 35 cars in the driver's school, which really bodes well for the future. And I did notice, Taryn, the grin on your face when John made reference to when he changed the grinning around and had, you know, the less experienced folks up front. You had like an ear-to-ear grin there, so I don't know if that was just throwing, if the perfect curve had been thrown your way in all this, or it looks like it was fun, was it?
Yeah, I remember when he lined me up, I was like, you're putting me first? He was like, oh, yeah, and I was like, okay. So it was-
You did fine. She did very well there. But this is really the enthusiasm, I think, across so many different age groups is really part of the fun of the driver's school. And the feedback was really positive too. And virtually everybody who went through it is doing what he or she can to be in races in the near future. So I think it went the right way. And I guess you're probably hearing that with other regional groups too, with their driver schools, the turnouts were really quite good.
But yeah,
as John said, broad experience and a great deal of breath in the history. And I'm proud to say that Karen was not the only woman racing with us. I'd like to see the percentages increase all the further in the driving school, but we're moving in the right direction.
What I hear is that in a thing like what you're running, which is actually a driving school and not a novice day where they're just people are supposed to already have taken a school and then they're just. That you have two tasks. You have people like Taryn who's learning to race, and then you have people that have a wealth of experience who haven't raced vintage. This is John's job, is to integrate those two problems.
And John worked very hard getting across a big chunk of this. And John, that is, we're teaching vintage racing etiquette. We're not teaching in one evening and then one day of classes and then Saturday and Sunday of racing. You're not going to become a great racer doing that, but if you can get the basic principles in about the way to behave, then you're in the right direction. But John, do you want to add to that?
Yeah, you know, vintage racing, you know, you have to go into it with a whole different attitude. It's all about having fun, being safe. It's not about trophies or, you know, what spot you finish in. It's about showing up and, you know, just having fun. It's more social than... you know, SCCA or NASA or anything, any of the other groups. It's either you get it or you don't. When you get it, it's just as satisfying as any other form of racing.
So, Taryn, are you going to be racing this year?
I have actually just talked to my grandpa about it yesterday, and we think that he's going to take me up to Groton in August.
If it's with grandpa, it's in the V, I guess, but
yep.
Do you got your eyes on a car or is there something?
No, I think I would... Grandpa's.
That's cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Taryn, having watched for so many years between your grandfather racing and being around a whole bunch of racers, did it feel the way you expected once you were out there on the track?
Actually, no. I was like more relaxed than I thought I was. Like it felt like I kind of knew it almost, which was crazy, but it like kind of felt natural to me.
Which is good. And you grew up around it. And
yeah, yeah.
So but, have you told your friends at school like the fact you started racing?
Yeah, everybody thinks I'm crazy, but it's okay.
But they have a certain secret respect for you, right?
They're like, yes, I know.
Especially the guys, you know, they're all like...
Oh, yeah.
It's like, I'm really fast. Yeah, you're not a racer, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Are you going to recruit some of your friends to go racing?
I don't have any like friends that are as dangerous as me. I'm the more crazy one of the group, but
need a crew, right? So
we wanted to print out t-shirts with my face on it for the last day.
John, obviously you've succeeded marvelously with Taryn. What kind of feedback do you get from the students?
We had a little celebration dinner and stuff like that, and I got to talk to, you know, several of them and about their experience. Several have contacted me on Facebook and we followed up, and you know, they told me how much they enjoyed it. You know, a lot of the students are going to be coming back and, you know, joining us for races here in the future. And, you know, I could see them at the track and, you know, we'll get to share stories. And I'm always, you know, I always see myself as a mentor to all of them. You know, they could always come anytime. And, you know.
Here's a question for both John and Alex. And maybe we know how Taryn got involved. She had somebody who was excited about racing and had been sort of telling her all along that it was something she could do. But I think for a lot of people on the sidelines, the idea that they can get started, what do you guys do in terms of outreach to people standing on the sidelines who might be interested but don't know where to start? John or Alex? Yeah, or both.
Yeah, you know, I'll go first. You know, anyone that comes up to me and starts looking at the car, I always ask them, "Do you have any questions?" And, you know, they'll ask me some questions and, you know, "Do you want to get in the car?" Hey, jump in the car. It's, you know, no big deal. Or afraid, you know, they think they're going to break these race cars. You know, I get them in there, put the steering wheel in there and, you know, just explain what it means to, or what it's like to go out and go race these cars. You know, they're fun. You know, I'll never forget the first time someone let me jump in their race car. And, you know, that kind of a pivotal thing. The first race car I jumped in was a Formula V. And, you know, 30 years later, you know, that's what I race. And it's a special moment, you know, when, you know, I think some people think that, you know, they can't come up to us and talk to us. You know, we're too busy for them or we're too important, but it's just opposite. We want that interaction. You know, we love talking about race cars and, you know, 1 out of 100 people to come out and race with us. That's, we're doing our job. And, I like it. I like that.
And Alex,
we're trying to do everything we can to make it clear that we're inclusive and that we put together a program that is really takes things in small steps, but does give real life racing experience. And where I think, I would hope Taryn would agree with that, the folks, not just in your, who are in your class, but the folks who are out there racing, wanted you to be joining, wanted you to be part of it. And as you know, we put the X on all the cars of the, for the newbies. That's not to be a target, that's to let it make people be aware that somebody is going to make mistakes out there because they haven't had the experience. But the enthusiasm from the existing members to having new people come on board becomes very evident, which I think also at our dinner, when folks got their certificates for graduating and things along that line, it was it wasn't just the folks in the class, it was a lot of people in there showing the enthusiasm. And the trying to use things like social media today that was also important. And that's why we appreciate you're doing these things with us and doing the podcasts. But it is true that we all have to think about using new varieties of media to be able to get through to people. And I would love to hear the thoughts from the new racer of this group about what thoughts she would have about what we should be doing to be reaching out to others, to making it clear that we are inclusive. Because it's all, vintage racing is a totally different thing from being around the pros who are looking at the world one way. We're looking at, we're basically celebrating the history of these cars and sharing it by racing, which is a lot different from somebody who is feeling that he or she has to get a $1 million contract having racing effort being out there. A whole different approach. But Taryn, anything like that?
People my age use social media a lot, and I feel like that would be a good idea to get things out. I don't know how we could get it out to the older ages.
Well, everybody's mom is on Facebook these days.
You're right. Facebook is, I've heard, pretty big. So I've
pretty old.
Okay.
We know what you're thinking. Let's say I want to get involved. Are there rental cars? Does it require me buying a car, buying all the gear? Or is there an incremental investment? John, you were nodding.
Yeah, so, you know, the way I started, you know, 10 years ago racing was I had I had a neighbor that said, hey, I got to introduce you to a friend who races cars. And I started going around with him to, you know, a couple different racetracks and went up to Road America. And I met Ricky Delisario, Formula V driver. And I said, Ricky, how do I go racing? And he said, I've got a car. Do you want to go fast or look good? And I said, I want to go fast. And he said, okay, you know, I've got the car for you. And I started renting from him. And he was my first instructor, you know, for the VSCD driver school. And I rented his car and rented it for another year and a half. And that's how I got started. It was affordable. I had another friend that gave me a driving suit, gloves, shoes, a bunch of hand-me-down stuff. And it was a great way to get into racing for pretty cheap. You know, eventually I bought a car. And so I own a vintage Formula V. And I also still rent an SCCA Modern V that I race. So there's multiple pathways. And it doesn't always have to be jump in with, you know, both feet and, you know, buy an expensive race car.
We make it, if folks get to the point of getting to our website and looking at the driver's school, we do mention on there that we have several folks that make cars available that can be rented at really a reasonable price. And by the way, it's not like, I should probably add to all this, I think part of what makes the school effective in getting across the vintage spirit actually is that we, as you know, we are a non-for-profit, it's a club. And that means that people are doing it because they love the sport, love the idea of sharing it. At the same time, it means that we aren't under any, I just want to add this, under any pressure that we have to let somebody graduate from the school and be able to race with us if they really haven't achieved. And that I think that's really good because we want everybody to succeed, but it's not going to change anybody's paycheck because there is no paycheck if we decide somebody isn't quite ready to get through. And there are sometimes folks that just aren't there at this point. But we do try to help people get cars. We're not getting paid for getting them cars. We're doing it because it's the right thing to, and you can start without having to spend a fortune.
So yeah, 35 people participating. How many of those were in open wheel cars?
I believe we had 13 or 14 cars.
It's 13 or 14. That's, I was thinking just a touch under 15 was what stuck in my little head. But that's a really good number.
Yeah.
I think part of that is probably related to also the affordability of the Formula Vs.
Yes.
So it's expensive to get started with that or to rent it or something along that line. Mm-hmm. And generally speaking, they're about as reliable as any racing car you're going to come up with. I mean, there's always a truth, but overall, it's about as reliable as you're going to find.
Especially a vintage one, which has got to be pretty well sorted out by this point in time.
It'll
right?
be fine.
Yeah.
We've summed this up here. If you show up, you'll get personal attention. The driving instructors will work with you to build whatever the skill set you need, whether it's the etiquette to race at the right place and pace and vintage, or the skills to handle your car safely. There's a lot of focus on success. You graduate when you get the skill set that you need. It's not very expensive to do. And if it's a stretch, well, there's things to borrow, beg and steal. It's obviously fun because Taryn is still smiling after spending the last half hour with a bunch of old guys. When's the next
one? Right at the end of April, beginning of May.
So you guys should run a fall driving school. I know why you do it early in the season, because you want to get people up and running. You know, people might come to a race, meet somebody, think this is what I want to do. Capture those people by doing a fall novice event or something like that.
Yeah, we'll discuss it internally. It's worth doing some planning on. One of the few disadvantages of being based in the Midwest does suddenly turn into all of a sudden you've got snow blowing sideways at you. So they only have, you know, the window is a little more limited than it would be with folks in some other parts of the country.
Oh, like California.
But I think there's definitely merit to looking at, could we do something in the late fall also?
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, that's, you know, that's just talking, but it seemed, you know, I mean, this is one of the things, like, when part of driver school and part of these things are to attract people to come and participate, right?
Yes.
And of course, if it snows heavily, they can bring their ice boat, and that's even more exciting than car racing, right? So, all right, well, nobody likes my ice boating idea, so the hell with that. That's
we rather race.
Yeah.
I was going to do the thing. I was doing a lot of ice boat racing or something. I don't like near her house or something like that.
No. There you go.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, here where I live, like if it actually snows, like it does it like every decade, once a decade, right? That's like, and we all go outside and stand like this, you know, and look up at the, it's like, wow, that's really weird, man. What is that stuff, you know? And go back in the house, you know, it's not the same. Now we're off in the weeds, as Dan likes to say. Alex, what would you like to say in summary?
Thank
and what haven't we covered?
Right. I was going to mention one other thing, which I think would maybe be, and there was, I'm talking with John earlier, this got stuck in my little head there. I bet a lot of the folks that were in our driver school, including in the open wheel group at 15, you're going to be on the track at Road America in September 2023, going to celebrate the 60th anniversary of Formula E. And so the driver school is going to play, they already have played a role in some new people who will be doing that. And, you know, we touched on, I don't race a league, but I completely understand now the appeal, the affordability, the history, the reliability. And the fact that you do have folks just in some of the most competitive racing imaginable, sitting right on top of each other. And I'm looking forward to seeing a huge turnout for that. And I certainly expect to see Taryn and John in the front row when we get graded up there. John gave me a thumbs up. So I appreciate it. Even if you can't see me, but that was it. I think Taryn wouldn't mind doing that either, I would assume.
If I'm not doing anything in nursing college, I will definitely come.
But I figure we're set for that. And I think it'll be a great celebration of a wonderful car.
So this is the Elkhart Lake Vintage Festival next year, not this year.
23. It's being referred to as like the V in 23 and things along that line. And I do, as you know, we had a huge turnout, you know, for a Formula Ford 50th. And I think we could have something, you know, equivalent to that with the Vs, which would be great fun. So, and Taryn, I hope you're going to whatever school you want to. But hopefully they let you out in September of 23 to go do this.
Okay. I will try.
Well, you know, they let those D1 athlete guys out of class early so they can go and throw that little leather sack of air around, right? So
right.
Tell them this is the big time. This is racing. Road America. John, what would you like people to take away from this discussion?
Boy, that, you know what? Vintage racing is fun. You know, come out. Get those cars out that haven't been out on the track for years and years and come out and race and come and have fun with us.
And Taryn, is it fun?
It is very, very fun, and I recommend it to everybody.
Alex.
Thank you so much.
It's always good to talk. Yeah, nice to meet you, Taryn.
Nice to meet you, too.
And John, you as well.
Yeah, thanks for having us on.
My pleasure. Alex, any last words?
I think that was, I greatly appreciate your time there. And we really love doing the driver school. It is actually, as John was saying, it's a huge amount of work, I guess, for us setting it up, but also so much for the students to absorb. I guess, Taryn, you said that you think about how much was covered, but we're trying to do it the way we've got the textbook side, the personal experience side, and then a huge amount of track time. You have the class and get out there, was it six times? Something like that, six times, and then get to race on Saturday and Sunday. So I do think it's the right combo to both learn how to have the etiquette of racing, get the track experience, and I think with the turnout we had and the efforts from Taryn and from John, things look great for VSCDA for the future.
All right. Well, I think that's a very fitting close for this afternoon. I want to thank all of you for spending some time with me today.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah.
When are you going to get a Formula V for your daughter?
Oh. Yeah, come on. I need another woman my age.
Yeah, well, you know, she's asked that. That's she did ask me that the other night. She said, "Where can I go to racing school?" And I'm like, "Yeah."
You know what will be happening next year? Oh, look at it. Oh, Taryn's great.
Yeah,
that's good. We'll work on it.
Well, I have to do what your granddad did, which is first I'm going to teach her to drive stick, and yeah, she wants to do that. So, all right. Well, thanks. Thank you.
Thank you.
And Alex.
Thank you, Taryn, for doing this.
Oh, yeah. I appreciate the invite. I enjoy it.
Thank Alex, you. I'll give you a link when I get it up.
Okay. And thank Perfect. You. For, we appreciate it.
All right.
Everyone have a great night.
Thank you. You as well. Bye.
Bye.